The Bible doesn't say that we have to make a melodious presentation like the choir did, but the Bible says that we're to make a joyful noise. So I'd like for you to join me in making a joyful noise. We're going to do several things. First of all, I'm going to sing you a little tune. Good morning to you, good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright smiley faces. And you know what to? Feel the warm glow, 'tis love that I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. Though my hair is white as snow, though my eyes are growing dim, still I'll keep on trusting Him. And you know what? We can sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why don't you join me? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Now, many, many years ago, I was a high school student, and I had an English teacher by the name of Mrs. Ramsauer, and she made it very important that we learn scripture, and so that we learn poems. So she taught me that old Ulysses said, I am a part of all that I have met, yet all experience is but an arch through which gleams the untraveled world, whose margin fades forever and ever as I move. And then there came along a fellow by the name of Rabbi Ben Ezra, and he said, grow old along with me. The best is yet to be, the last of life for which the first was planned. Our times are in His hand, who said, a whole I planned. Youth knows but half. Trust God. See all. Don't be afraid. And you know, I recently heard that Oprah had some kind words for those of us that are growing to be white-haired and getting a little older in biological years. She said, live, love, and celebrate until you're 98. Now, I'm going to have to edit that, because I believe the living, the loving, I would add laughter, and I would add service as you celebrate to 98 and beyond. And then I read one other thing. The man, I don't know whether it was a man or a woman who said it, but the person said, life before 50 is just a warm-up. Well, this morning we've gathered to celebrate. We've come to thank all of those of you who are completing your warm-up and are now in the process of really serving the Lord and trusting the Lord for what He's going to do in your life in the next years that you have ahead of you. We come to say thank you to all of you who share your happy smiles. And since I've been standing up here, I've seen some of you with your happy smiles. Though I still see a few of you that... Oh, I thought that would do the trick. We're here to say thank you to all of you who have positive attitudes, who don't let things get you down. We're here to say thank you to all those that know how to make beautiful music and all those who say, I make a joyful noise. We're also here to say thank you to those that teach, especially those that teach our children. And we're especially glad for those children who sang Jesus Loves Me to remind us of our years gone by. We also want to say thank you for those that continue to run the race of life with grateful hearts, acknowledging the beauty of the world in which we live and the steadfastness love of God and His faithfulness to us every day. Yes, thank you to all of you who are not only living, but you're living well. And our hearts rejoice as we acknowledge how much you already mean to the kingdom of God. But I also want to challenge you. I want to challenge you and these young people that are sitting in these front pews to be all that God has planned for you to be. As Sharon read in Jeremiah, God has a big plan for each one of us. And it goes on and on and on. Now, one day this week, a fellow resident asked me, "Sir, just what are you going to preach on Senior Sunday?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to preach on the best is yet to be." He said, "Oh, I bet you're going to talk about heaven." Well, no, that really wasn't my intention. I do look forward to such glory, but that's really not my emphasis. For God's word tells us that there are individuals whom today we might consider to be elderly, but God reserved the best plan for them until they were 75, 80, 90, 99. And let's think about it. How old was Abraham when he was called to leave and go to a far country? 75. He was no young man, was he? He had sure completed his warm-up. How old was, let's see, how old was Abraham when he became the father of Isaac? He was 99. Can you believe it? How old was Sarah? She was 90. Whew. How old was Moses? How old was Moses when God called him from the burning bush? He was 80. He served the Lord for 40 years before he finally died at 120. And now let's see Caleb. Caleb was a fine young man at about 40 when he went to spy out the promised land. But you know what? He didn't get his inheritance in Hebron until he was 85. You know, when we stop to think about it, there are many older people that did tremendous things in God's timing according to the plan that God had for their lives. You remember an old man that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos? We wouldn't have the revelation if it hadn't been for him, would we? You know, the truth of the matter is that there are many in the 50s and 60s and 70s that I haven't even mentioned, and it would take a long time, longer than they've allowed me to speak to you, for us to go there. But the truth is, we're never too old, and you're never too young. It is never too late to be God's instruments. But like Isaiah, we simply have to be available. Choir, you did a great job. We need to be willing to answer, "Here am I, send me." But remember, Isaiah first of all experienced the glory and the presence of the Lord in the temple before he made his commitment. Now, friends, that's what you and I need to do. We need a fresh encounter with God who is doing new things, great things, in the world today. Too often we take such long looks in the rearview mirror that we fail to experience God's glory today. We fail to experience his presence. We fail to experience his forgiveness. We fail to hear his call. We do not see where God is leading us. We do not get involved in the new thing that God wants to do in the world today. As Sharon read, Isaiah said, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I am doing a new thing." Did he say, "Sarah, you are? Coy, you are? Chad, you are?" No. God said, "I am doing a new thing." Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Now that means that God is creating a new way in the desert of our own land, of our America, our North Carolina, our Davidson County. Through Isaiah, God is still speaking prophetically to us today. God said, what he did in times past pales in comparison to what he wants to do in the present. Our God is a God of the now. And we need to seize the time. He is a God who wants to be relevant to the needs of the world in which we live, a turbulent, violent, difficult time. But God wants to do a new thing. And he wants to do it through the lives of his people. Now, I remember a very difficult experience. I was the volunteer chaplain at the provincial prison in South Korea, in Daegu. And I had a wonderful experience being there, inviting people to come and having people to participate and singing with them and telling them stories. But we had one lady that was absolutely a pest. And I used to wonder why in the world she came, until I was reminded that I was the one who told the warden that anybody that wanted to come should be allowed to come. Well, one day, it was just terrible. She knocked me down. I came up with a bloody nose. And I told the old deaconess that went with me to pray for me, Yun Chip Sanim, why in the world doesn't that woman know God's love? God loves her. I've told her so many times. I've read it from the Bible. We've sung about it. Yun Chip Sanim looked me straight in the eye. And she held my hand. And she said, Sanim, she'll know God loves her when you love her. My friends, that's what God is saying to us today, that he wants to be, that he wants to do the new thing through us, through you and through me. And it makes no difference what our age is. My life has never been the same since then. I was humbled, and I began to minister to Miss Lee's physical needs and to her heartaches. People want to experience the love of God through you. You can tell them all you want. We can preach it all we want. But people want to experience the love of God through the relationship that you have as a child of God with them. God says, I am doing. And we may not always see how God is working in us. But that doesn't mean that God is not working. The scripture says the new thing springs up. Well, you know, to spring up means to sort of surprise. So we might be surprised at what God is trying to do in our lives. We may have heartache and grief. We may have discouragement and sickness. We may have temptations. We may have some other difficulty. But God's promise is that God will make the pathway that he wants us to follow, and he will transform our desert areas into fields of blessing. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel, for I believe that the blessings that come to us as a result of our intimate relationship that we develop in a fellowship with God the Almighty. The one whose steadfast love sustains us. The one whose Son set for us an example of servitude. As we have that relationship, we will begin to acknowledge what new thing God wants to do through us. For doors of opportunity will open before us. Recently, I applied to go back overseas. One man said, Sarah, you're 81 years old. You can't go back overseas. And I said, yes, I can. I can still do some of the things that I did and the new things that God has equipped me to do. God's word teaches us that we are to follow the plan of God as God reveals it to us day by day and step by step. And as we navigate the aging process, The reality is, what God wants to do may change. God might want us to change. There are some of the things that I know that you're already engaged in. I see evidence of it. The food that you collect, the young people sitting here, the children that were here. But I think one of the things that each person needs to do is to live in the wisdom that we've already experienced and to tell our story. I remember my Uncle Everett. He was the youngest boy in my daddy's family out of 13. But Uncle Everett would keep me enthralled with the stories that he told about growing up. Well, now, you know what happened to me when I was growing up is entirely different from what's happening to you. And you need to hear that. And you need to hear about my faith journey. So each one of you has a story that you can share with someone else. It was 90 years old that Cliff Barris said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." 90 years old, and Cliff Barris said that. But he always claimed that the joy of the Lord was his strength. And that's true. It makes no difference if you're 15, 16, 17, 70, 80, or 90. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. That's what the psalmist said in 37. But as we live closer to him, then his desires become our desires. We become more available to be God's instruments of peace, of love and mercy, and forgiveness, encouragement and kindness in our daily living, but also through service, mentoring those that are younger. Yeah, mentoring. Each one of us could be a mentor. Visiting the frail. And I see some of you visiting when I go to Austin Brook and Carolina House and Lexington Healthcare. I see you when you come over to Piedmont Crossing and do some visiting. But you never visit too much. I'd like to encourage some of the young people to be involved in that visiting too. You can't imagine how wonderful it makes an old person feel when a young person takes time to hug you. I think there is a particular door of service that God has for each one of us. It may mean that we have to learn something new. It will certainly mean we'll have to expand our vision. It will definitely mean that we want to have a role in God's plan for reaching our world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead of seeing age as a liability, like, well, I can't do that any longer, let us be challenged to view age as an opportunity for living a meaningful life that glorifies God, that reflects in our countenance, in our stance, in our words, in our action, that we love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It means that we're going to let go of the regrets. That we're going to forgive everything that we sometimes, well, I think the devil brings it to mind. But I'm open to having him do it, I think. But we need to forgive all those things in the past that have hampered us. And we need to continue to move forward as guided by God, as we embrace the person that we are, each one. I'm not Marilyn. Marilyn's not Sarah. I'm not Ann. Ann's not Sarah. But each one of us needs to become all that God has planned for us. Now, I do have one thing, because Ms. Ramsauer taught me another thing. So live that when thy summons comes to join the innumerable caravan which moves to that mysterious realm where each shall take his chamber in the silent halls of death, Thou go not like the quarry slave, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to silent dreams. Only in that sense can you possibly think about what that man asked me. For I believe the best is yet to be in each of our lives, depending upon our response to God's call in our lives. At 81, I'm still glad to be on this side of the green grass and not 6 feet under. And as long as I'm here, I want to be able to say, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to send. If not me, who? If not now, when? If not here, where? What about you? We may not live to be 120 like Moses, but each one of us here today can be a part of something that will last forever.